Well, there are some people that advised me to quit, but I'm not going to quit yet. Well, there we are. Thanks for coming tonight. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. I have a message that I believe was given to me by the Lord. I don't generally get it the way I got this message, and I've tried to really work through it. And I think it's for you because that's why the Lord gave it to me. So let's pray, and then you'll put your listening ears in and your thinking mind, and we'll see what God has to do. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you do care about us. I'm thankful that we have a word of God that when we go to it and understand it, it's always helpful. And I thank you for these folks that have come tonight, and I pray that as we look in this word of God in a couple areas, that you will lay up the passage, and that you will put it in our hearts, and that we can carry it as a big help to us tonight. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to have you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 84. Tuesday morning, I was in my devotions, and in the midst of my devotions, I read this phrase: "No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly." I thought, that's a wonderful passage. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Then I went over to my benefit that I get from having good preachers with good coffee, but their secretary makes, not mine, their secretary. Having a cup of coffee, pastor, they talked to me. They wondered, maybe I could preach tonight. And I thought, oh, I know the verse. So I began to look through this, and I looked in the passage. And I believe there's a real good message here for our group here tonight. I believe that this is a good section of Scripture. And I think the best thing to do, I will read through the Scripture first. It's not too long. Let me read through the Psalm 84, then we'll walk through it. Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, which she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. We're going to now read three blessings. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be still praising you, Selah. Blessed be the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. Did you notice where the... I'm going to tell you who said this in a minute. A day in the courts in your house is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God, here's our verse... For the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and therein comes our promise. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man who trusts in you. Well, I started, as I came back and the pastors gave me an opportunity to preach tonight, I looked up this verse, and I looked up this passage, just like I'm reading to you. I looked it up to see what God would have to say to us tonight from this Psalm 84. So the first thing I did was, this is not David. It says in mine, to the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Aha! The song. I think I'll just introduce you to one of these guys. Say, son of Korah, who are you? Where did you come from? And why are you writing that book? We are people that have been assigned, Korah says. We are the sons of Korah, say. We are the people that are assigned to be gatekeepers in the house of the Lord. I have had a certain section of the temple or a certain section of the temple area that I am responsible for all the time. I've spent my whole life there. I am just one that has been called of God and blessed by God to be a person who walks in the presence of God, because in there is that presence of God that comes, that has come, the Shekinah glory all these years ago. I get to live there. This is what I say. This is how I feel when I begin to think about the life that I have been able to live. They're assigned to particular places. And a little checking, we find that there are 11 of these Psalms in the book of Psalms. You can read 11 chapters by the sons of Korah. It might be well if we would do that. Remember, when you read that, you can see they're singers. You can see that they are special people. And I want you to recognize these people lived in that known presence of God all the time. That's where they lived. That's where they were. And out of that comes these psalms or these songs. So we're reading a passage of Scripture here these thousands of years later by some people that have lived there all this time. And I'm interested what these special men say. And so I begin to read Psalm 84 with you. We see what they are saying here is it is a great joy, they say, serving the Lord God. They didn't count it a hard thing. They didn't count it a bad thing that they had to live there all the time. I expect that God went. But anyway, they are really tickled to be able to be in the house of the Lord and work there all these years. My commentary, when I looked out my commentary, this is why the second reason why I decided to preach it, because it's called the Janitor's Psalm. I like that. These guys were janitors in the house of the Lord. I thought, boy, this must be really something extra good as these janitors talk. So these janitors express how intensely their very souls, my thought, their most inmost being yearned, it says, and even fainted for God. Do you live in that way of thinking very often, where you really just every once in a while just desire to be close to God, thinking about God? They got to live there, these janitors. And they got some things to tell us here tonight. And that's what I want to go through. I want to go through here. And by the way, these people weren't those people that were on their way up, like the ladies are studying in Psalm 121 to Psalm 120 to 134, the Psalms of Ascent. There's many messages from there, and you'll hear that, ladies, in the ladies' Bible study there in Sunday school. But these people they're not traveling. They're in the house of the Lord all the time. They were in His house and wanted to be there in the temple, which was totally focused on the Lord. They had this one place and where the sacrifices were made all the time, sacrifice for sin, sacrifice, all the different kinds of sacrifices were in that temple all the time. All this was one simple thing. Everything that in that temple that was done right was focused on God, the God of the universe, the God that these Jews worship, the God that they knew lived from forever to ever, the God that we read in all these other Psalms. There these janitors were. And they were in the presence of God. Let's kind of see what they praise the Lord for. Let's just work through it just a little bit. That's all I'm going to do, is just to work through and say, what did these guys think and how did they go? Well, this is how I just read verse 1 and 2 to kind of say what I said. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul long, this guy says, this group of janitors. How long our soul, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Our heart, my heart is a singular person here. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's where they are. That's how they feel about being there and living their life before the Lord. Now we get to 3 and 4 and it kind of changes things here. We got sparrows and swallows. Let's see what that says. Let's look at this. I'm just working through it as I did when I studied it. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow found a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even comparison, picture language. Comparison, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. That's, oh, here it is. This is what I picked out of that little section there. We know that sparrows were the cheapest thing you could buy to get to make your sacrifice to the Lord. Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. And swallows are known for being restless. And they never find a place. They keep going all around all the time. What this psalm is saying, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that even the smallest of people can come. And the people, oh, this is what I think we find there. They found what we can find when we go to the Lord. They found if they were totally focused on the Lord, there was two things that they got that sparrows and swallows got there. They found a place to rest. And they found a place that God would take care of them. That's what that little picture is. Picture language of these two birds. That's what it seems to me. Sparrows, and the swallow would be the one, they are restless. So we have a picture here of this guy that lives there says, just like those sparrows are not worth much of anything, God gives them a place to rest, a source. Swallows that can't ever, God places there of time for lust, and we can find two things here. We find rest and security, not because we come to this church, but because we come to the God that was represented in that tabernacle, and the God that we worship when we come here tonight. You can be totally relaxed and rest in the Lord because you trust in the Lord that makes the heaven and the earth and runs the whole outfit. And by the way, He knows you and loves you. So I apply it this way. The psalm is saying that we find rest here. We can find rest and security. Sure, not a place, but a person. And we can take from this the summary statement of St. Augustine. I got that from somebody else. I can't ever do it my own. But you know this one. When you hear it, if you ever heard one quote from St. Augustine, this is the one you heard. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. The whole world is that way. They can't land nowadays. You got to be doing something, going someplace, and doing something. It's gone crazy. And there's no stop. There's no just now let's... This janitor found the rest, and he tells us, the way you can find a rest is go to the Lord, get in the presence of the Lord, and you can have peace and rest in Him. That's picture language, but it's worth listening. It's first, this psalm type things are worth trying to understand, and then they're worth trying to take into your life. So I say to you, I'm not stretching my janitor's words. When I say to you, do you have a time when you worry about things, that's Jesus talking. And when you have troubles and things, you need to remember the sparrows and the swallows. You need to remember that God will find a place for you, and He will be your resting place. That's what I think we find there in those little verses on those talking about those birds there. Now we come to our blessings. See, I will just say this once again. You're trying to follow this dumb preacher. Look at it again. So you got the sparrow there in the first part of 3. You got the swallow there in the last part of 3. And then the conclusion I'm trying to make for it. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. They are like that for the swallow and the little birds get their rest and their security. We found our security, he said, at the altar. We say in our Lord today. And you have that. You that know the Lord and you that follow the Lord, you that have trusted in the Lord, you can find that you can find rest in that Lord. You can do that. Are you with me? Are you not awake? Okay, you're up. Thank you for listening carefully. I hope I get it straight. Now we got three blessings. I found there, there's a blessing in verse 4, there's a blessing in verse 5, and the last blessing is in the last verse. So we're going to look for these three blessings and see what blessings God has given to us through this psalm. It comes from the Lord God. Oh, yes. This is what I wanted to see. I want, before I go through the blessings, I want to go through my verse I found to have a sermon on. Go back to my verse 11. It doesn't start with my quote. When I looked up the verse, I couldn't find it, and then it was the last part of the verse. Let's read the whole verse. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Oh, there he is. The Lord God is called a sun, and it says he will give grace and glory. Grace down here, glory up there. There's a lot of glory in between, but that's the way I'd apply it today. Now we take home this verse. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk up. I got to change my thing. I got to be careful. I went in the wrong place. Hang on, folks. 4, 5, 6. Here we go. I just turned pastor. You never do this, so I'm thankful that I have a pastor that's a lot more organized than me. For those that dwell in the house of God, they know what Paul told the Athenians, that God doesn't dwell in houses of the land, but he believed that we dwell in the presence of the Lord. I guess I've told you all the stuff I was supposed to do. I just did it without looking at it. And for those on the way, they do talk about that in verse 5. For those on the way, the house of God, the pilgrims there, see the application here in verse 6 and 7. That's what I skipped. I'm sorry about that. Hang in there, folks. 6 and 7. As they pass through, I guess they did too bad so far. As they pass through the valley of Beka, they make a spring. The rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This is describing those that are coming up, not the guy inside, but those that are coming up to Jerusalem. And this is how they are described. They're described as people that are on pilgrimage and go through the valley of Beka. That's all kinds of troubles and trials. I won't go into all that, but that's what it's talking about. And those troubles and trials they can see is of the Lord. And now the blessing comes. That, I'm not on the target, actually. The blessing is to the man whose strength is in you, who set their heart. So the blessing comes for those who are trusting in the Lord, and it comes, the friendship, everything comes. So then we got to get 8 through 10 there. I don't want to skip that. Verse 8. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer, gear to my cry, O Jacob, God of Jacob. O God, behold the shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Look on us, help us. I'm talking, I'm in here. And then he says this that I've been talking about quite a while. The day in your courts is better than 1,000. That's where we get it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now, if I can find in my notes where I'm supposed to be, we'll really be just hunky-dory. There's page 3, there's 1, there's 2. This must be getting there. Yep, here we go. Now I come to my take-home verse. I realize that this might be not too great for you, but here is the great part. Here's what I want you to take home. Here we go. We start with in verse 11 here. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Then it says what I started out. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let's look at that just for a moment tonight. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. My thoughts came like this. Don't forget, this is God's definition of good. This is God's definition of what is right and holy and just. So it's not, we cannot say, Lord, you promised you're going to be good to me all the time, where's the money? Or we promised, why don't I get this house or this thing or that? That's not the promise. The promise here is that God will give grace and glory and no good thing that He believes He knows that is good for you will He withhold from you. I may not always feel that way, but that's what the truth is all about. If we have this mentality, that's why I was drawn to the word. If we have this mentality, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I need to do is say, thank you, Lord, for this day. You've given me another one. And I get to dwell in the presence of the Lord all the time, by the way. We talked about this Sunday school. He's in here. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is in here. And so we have the God that He worshipped and sat in the tabernacle and looked at that stuff going up and down. He understood all that much better than we do. We don't have to understand that. All we not need to understand that the God that He says gives grace and glory there is the God that gives us grace and glory in our life. That's the promise. That's what God tells us we can do. He will be the one that gives us this grace. He will be the one that gives us this glory. So, I think I have that all in post. Number 12, I got in verse 12. You think I'm done, but I'm not because I'm going to jump. Hang in there, folks. I'm not quitting. Okay. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who... There's the response to that great statement in verse 11. See, the Lord will do no good thing. He will withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who actually takes that in. Blessed is the man who trusts in You. Are you that man? Are you that woman who trusts in the Lord? That should be you, and that should be me. When I read this passage of Scripture, the material that I read said this is the only place in the whole Old Testament where God is called the Son, S-U-N. And that's how I got the message that I've given to you so far. 3 days later, the same guy gives me a verse in the New Testament. Now I want to take you to a New Testament verse, and I want to show you something that I think is worth taking home. I read the verse that just stuck out to me. Let's see what it is. The verse that stuck out to me from my passage on Thursday was this one. Luke 1:78. What an odd verse. Let's go there. Luke 1:78. I wouldn't have ever got there on my own, but my material got me there. When he got me there, I got what I thought was the rest of my sermon. I think this is from the Lord, so I hope it's all making sense to you. It sure makes sense to me. Luke chapter 1. We get to chapter 2 real quick. We get Jesus being born, and Luke gets a whole lot of stuff in before then. And so we run to chapter 2. We run to Mary's song, and we should. And we run to Elizabeth, because man, oh man, when you get that old and have that baby, you should look at her. We got all that in there. But I want to take you to Luke chapter 1, and I want to pick it up. Well, let's pick it up so you'll get the whole thing. I got time. Let's pick it up in I'll start it up in verse 75. In holiness and in righteousness before Him, I'll do verse 74. To us, that's it. To grant to us, are you there in Luke chapter 1? Okay. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. This is a prophecy, by the way. This is John the Baptist's father, Zacharias. This is the guy that just got his voice. You remember the whole story there. And this is what he says. In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And here we go. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. He's talking about his son, John the Baptist. For you will go before the face of the Lord and prepare His ways. Prepare His ways. You know all about that story. To give knowledge of salvation to His people by their mission or for their mission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God. Now, this is where I got excited. You say, preacher, you get excited all kind of stupid things. Oh, no, it's really here. With which the... Now, what does yours say? Dayspring? The rising sun. I was reading in the American Standard Version. Instead of the... that's where I read my devotions. I like different versions. This different version of this... Open this up. Remember my son, where I started in the Psalms there? What is this? Well, this is Jesus. Jesus is called prop. You can. This is okay to say that, Dayspring. It's just like, it's a picture, it's a metaphor. Now, the other ones that I read say rising sun. Jesus, God is the only sun there, the sun. Oh, God is 100 things other. But the sun that is described, we get the picture of that. God is the maker of it, all that. He's the sun. He got all that, and he's the one who gives all the blessings we saw there in our passage. Now I go to the New Testament, and what does this say here? This man that's a prophet, what does it say? It says, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring or the rising sun from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Does that resonate with you? The God who is the sun from eternity past and eternity future, who is described like that in that that Psalms. When God gives this prophecy to this old man who is going to talk about the coming Savior who is going to show up just a few verses later, when he describes that one, he describes him as the rising sun. The sun produces... I can't understand all that, neither can you, so don't overcome me. I don't understand all that, but the sun, the one who is the sun, is the one who's going to bring and give and promote, and he's born, the virgin birth. That come from the sun who produced the rising sun, who sprang out literally from the east. I love that. I hope it's some helpful. I hope it's some description that it was different to me. It's new to me, and it just really lit up my thoughts about this. The one who will be, look at verse... The one who will be the redemption. We need to see that. See that? The one that's going to come there, the rising sun, to give, he's going to, what is he going to do? Look at verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission or for the remission of their sins. There's, that's the whole description of Jesus Christ coming. There it is. And he will be the one who gives redemption for his people. By remission for the remission of sins, and he calls on him the sunrise from on high. That's my connection. This comes to mind when I think of that. Are you with me there? Am I too far off the track? I don't think so. I'll do one more, and then I'll put you. You all go home with a great scripture. I got the sun in the Old Testament. I got the rising sun coming in the New Testament. Let's see how John describes him, and then I'll quit. Look at John. Let's just read with me the first few verses of John. Then you got it. The sun has something to do with light, don't you think? Look at that. Look at that. That's how my mind jumps. Hallelujah, folks. When you get old, your mind gets, a little shady. But it's still connected, folks. It's connected. You watch this. It's connected. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without saying, without being made. And we're with that. We got that. And it was life. Life, whoop! And the life was the light. Oh, man, the light of men. Do you get it with me? Have you got through the spiritual life here? The sun, the rising sun? John says... He came. Oh, by the way, what does that light do? There it is. It's all described here in John. It's all laid out for there. And the sun shines in dark. The sun shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't come. And then there's John the Baptist right there. See, that's Zechariah. The son and the man was sent from God. His name was John. Zechariah has been telling us about him. Where I started out there in Luke. And look at verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man that cometh into the world. There it is. So, I know these are... This is a little run away from an average sermon. But those little avenues of light came to me. And I hope I was able to say tonight, to show you that this God who made the light, who is called the Son, who brought the sun, who is described as dayspring, is the one who brings the light in the world. And if we have the light, have you gone with me there? There we are. We are worshiping the one who made it. Who is it? Who is the light? Makes the light. Was the light. And by the way, if you know him, you have life forever. And Paris is called the city of lights. They know nothing. In the book of Revelation, there's light that never goes out. You got that? Pastor, that was really something, wasn't it? Pastor says, where did that guy go? Well, thank you. I thank you for the privilege of preaching. I appreciate it.